You mean like sort of on the...
I guess I love you.
Tragedy struck.
I see you haven't lost your touch.
Are you kicking us off, or am I kicking us off?
Yeah, no, I can start. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Q here.
And it is
time. No, I was getting there. Jeez.
I just had to. Okay.
Fine. We'll do this. I understand your excitement level because this is a Nerdcast, man. It is time for a Nerdcast, and not just any Nerdcast. We have somebody who is a friend of Project Nerd, somebody that we hold dear to our hearts, love and cherish oh so much. Is this a grand enough entrance to introduce him?
I think so.
Mr. Sean Cunningham, what's happening?
Hey,
dude.
What?
Good to be here.
Insert crowd noises here. Insert crowd noises.
This is our very expensive special effects.
Make a note of it. Yes, welcome to the Nerdcast, Sean, and thank you, Q, for the wonderful introduction that I interrupted many of times, but I think we won't even pretend with the fans. We were already having a good time and chatting before we finally said, let's just hit record and do this.
Yeah. True.
So Sean is the writer, director, Hudson. I almost started listing other things that you weren't. You were not the star of it. You were the writer and director. You're the star of the production, Hudson.
Cameraman.
Yes, if you go back, it was on Project Nerd's top 10 movies of 2019, Sean.
I don't know if you ever knew that.
I know that.
That's so cool.
So every movie I watch every year, I rank. And I just give a number that's not influenced by any other movie. So the idea is I watch the movie and I have to immediately assign it a number. I can't wait 2 days. I can't compare it to another movie on the list.
And is this like any movie that you see of the year?
Any movie that comes out that year. So any movie that comes out that calendar year. And I include film festival movies, which I've seen a good one this year too. That's probably going to make my top 10 list this year as well. And I, at the end of the year, just sort the rank, and whatever is in the top 10 is in the top 10. And I can't argue with myself about it.
Yeah.
So and I can't put bias in it or change judgments or something
and,
like that.
And he definitely wasn't affected by the $3,000 that you slipped me to review the movie. So
you told me it was 1500.
That's all it was. I mean, 1500. No, how do you think I afforded this sweet VHS wall? $3,000 worth of VHS, my friends. I don't know how to spend money well.
Clearly.
How did I get three copies of what's the movie that you have three copies
Mystery
of?
Men.
Three copies.
Yeah, Mystery Men. Yeah. At $37 a piece. A bargain.
A real steal. I had to get rid of my VHS collection at one point. This was a long time ago, but I just remember, I kind of remembered it seeing that. I'm like, that was the most heartbreaking thing I've had to do is to get rid of all these great movies that I've had for years. And I think it was like when I was in college, things were switching over to DVD. And I even worked at like a rental store and I was like, oh man, this is never going to happen. I'm always going to have my VHS. And nope.
Forever. What's funny is like, So, you know, vinyls came back, right? And so people are like super big vinyl heads and they're buying vinyls. VHS is weird because there is now like a subsect of VHS collectors, except VHS is like, it doesn't have any of the benefits that like vinyl does. They're vinyl sounds better. Yeah. And it's like, my 4x3 copy of Lost Souls definitely isn't better than my DVD or Blu-ray copy, or probably even not as good as the MPEG 4 version that I have saved to my computer or
like
whatever.
Really nice about the VHS quality though. I remember it's just like a little bit grainy and just not clear. And I kind of missed that actually.
Just has that nostalgic factor. Plus I'm a sucker for popping in a VHS tape and just letting the trailers roll because it's literally like a slice from whatever year this movie came out in.
Yeah, you're like,
and I'm like, I don't even remember that movie. What was that? That's bizarre.
The trailers are so weird too. They've changed so much over the years. Like
totally
voiceover.
Now it's like, no, there's no voiceover anymore.
There's no voice now. If you voice guy is gone.
if you hear a voiceover in a trailer, it's for like they're making fun of the fact
that
there's voiceover in the trailer. Nobody's legitimately like Arnold Schwarzenegger is out for revenge.
It's that was pretty good, man.
Thanks.
Wait a second. I realized because that the one that was most famous for doing that, didn't he pass away like 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah,
we did.
Is that the day VoiceOver died?
That's when the music died. Bye bye, Miss
American. Is American Pie 2? Like, is the American Pie the song?
Pie 2. Right, VoiceOver died as well.
That's so funny. Yeah. Well, I guess
a question for both of y'all then. I mean, Q, you've obviously held on to your VHSs, but Sean, you said you got rid of them. So my big transition was when I went from DVD to Blu-ray. There was a lot of movies that I got rid of because I could sell them easier in like batches, right? That I'm like, I will eventually get this on Blu-ray, and then have looked back and been like, why did I never get that on Blu-ray? Is there a movie that stands out for you, Sean, on that where you were like, I'm going to let this VHS go now and know I'm going to get the DVD. And then you're like, why the hell haven't I bought that DVD?
Yeah. One of them I remember getting rid of. I was obsessed with Punch Drunk Love for some reason. Oh. I mean, it's an amazing movie, but
sure.
When it came out, I just love those early P.T. Anderson films, and letting go of that one, just even like Adam Sandler's face on it. It was tough. And I never bought the DVD, but
you never bought it again.
If you're a Criterion fan, it's now out on Criterion.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Now. Yeah. So there you go. Now you have every excuse to upgrade it. We've made your life better. That's it. The end of the podcast.
That's it.
Thank you for coming to our TED Talk on physical media. This has been great. I appreciate it.
I was gonna say, Q, I know you went back to a lot of those VHSers. You may have held on to a lot of them.
Yeah.
But was there some movie you got rid of going from one version to another one that you never replaced?
Yeah. You're not asking
me. You already asked me. Here you go.
Right? I was asking
you. I went in reverse. I had a bunch of this stuff on DVD, and then like this collection is actually, I don't know, a couple years old now. So I went on a hunt because that's the fun part for me. So two movies that I actually had a pretty hard time tracking down. I like getting my stuff IRL, as the kids say. Like, I don't want to just order it offline. I want to like find it somewhere. And so two movies that I found and got super stoked about. One was The Brave Little Toaster.
I love that one. I had that. I did too
as a kid, and then obviously I didn't have it for decades, and then I decided to go and start collecting VHS again, and when I found that movie I was just like, this is my childhood in a movie. It was that one and a Goofy Movie, both of those movies are very hard to find on VHS, surprisingly. I don't know. Yeah. But
I feel like most movies are pretty hard to find on VHS.
I don't know. Have you been to a Goodwill lately? They usually have a pretty gigantic selection of 20-cent VHS tapes.
I can't seem to find the Avengers 12 on VHS.
But yeah, those are probably the ones that I was like very, very excited. And now like the cool part is like, because I have, so my office, you can't see it here, but my office is set up like a 90s living room. And Iggy, you're familiar with that. When I was with High Five, we set our booth up like that. So my whole office is a 90s, including like a tube television and a VHS player. And it's also my son's playroom. And so the excitement that I got being able to pop in a VHS copy of The Brave Little Toaster for him to watch while he's playing, it was like a weird inception of feels that I had going on.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It was awesome. It was super crazy.
Every kid could have watched that. You have to grow up watching that movie. It's like,
totally. I could have literally taken a snapshot photo. And that's the weird part, is like my son watching this movie, I could have taken a picture, and you legitimately wouldn't have been able to tell if this picture was from 1994 or now.
That's amazing.
So I don't know what that says about anything. But
process the photo and everything.
I know. I almost said I could have taken a Polaroid picture, and you really wouldn't have been able to tell.
So I'm my gem is Gotcha Beat. So my big, as I said, transitions from DVD to Blu-ray. And there were a few movies that just weren't available on Blu-ray yet, but I'm like, I'm going to risk it. And that was Super Mario Bros., Howard the Duck, and Dick Tracy, and Street Fighter. So I have Super Mario Bros. I have Howard the Duck. I have Dick Tracy. But your mind would be blown on how hard it is to find Street Fighter on Blu-ray right now. Like, it's out of stock all the time.
The original, like
the Jean-Claude Van Damme one.
Yeah, I hear like those.
I remember that.
High on cocaine for the entire
But thing. Do you have Double Dragon?
No, I don't on Blu-ray. Is that even out on Blu-ray? It's got to be at this point,
no,
right?
No way. No way anybody cared about that movie enough to put it on Blu-ray.
Hold on. I'm going to the interwebs to test this out. Please ignore all clicking noises in the background.
So, Sean, I got to ask, while Iggy's looking at that, I mean, speaking of, we're talking about movies that we love and things that we want to hang on to, right? And I can't think of a better segue into your film than things that we love and want to hang on to, right?
Oh, man, that's nice. That's nice of you to say.
And, yeah, absolutely. Cool. And so I remember watching the film at Tallgrass, and Iggy, you know, he wasn't blowing smoke when he says that the film has something really special to it. Like, it legitimately has humor, but it has heart. And I remember watching it the whole time. That's something, and I see a lot of movies, like a ridiculous, unhealthy amount of movies.
Probably too many. Every we probably year. Watch now, too many.
Definitely too many. The Surgeon General is like, this man is part movie at this point.
Yeah.
And it's very rare nowadays, I will say, and it makes me sad to say this, but it's true. It's rare that I watch a film and am genuinely moved by a film anymore. There are things that move me because I know, like, oh, this, you know, tugs on those heartstrings or whatever. But I was genuinely moved by your film watching it at Tallgrass, not only because of the pathos and the emotions that were involved, but also the mix of humor, which is like how I deal with stress in my life. Sure. It's like I took my son to get his vaccinations the other day, and I told my wife I had to apologize to her, and she's like, why are you apologizing? I was like, because I started laughing when he started crying, and the nurse was like, why are you laughing? And I was like, I don't know. It's because this is how I cope with uncomfortable situations.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. I always had people tell, like, any uncomfortable situation, I just go like this. I do like a little Jim Halpert face at first, and then I just start laughing. I'm like, it's too funny. I'm almost seeing it objectively, you know?
Totally. It's like I'm out of my body. And so I just want to talk about this movie and how excited I am that, you know, I watched the trailer coming up on like a couple weeks ago, right?
It just got released, the new cut. Yeah.
When we spotted the trailer and we spotted that there was a pretty awesome like website that was quoted in the trailer. So we got excited and shared it internally.
I reread
that review, and Q, that was actually our conversation that I mentioned in the review, where we were walking out and we're like, why are we seeing this at an independent film festival and not like at a theater, like in
a
big city somewhere right now? Because it was that type of movie.
That's awesome. I love that you guys said that. I remember that. Like, we all kind of watched it, and that was a gorgeous theater too.
The Orpheum
at Tallgrass. And that was just like the best to read that, because I think that's like sort of the goal. You try to like reach people with these small indie films, and it's hard because you're competing against stars and all that. And I remember, didn't you throw Ben Affleck in there too once? You're like, even Ben Affleck.
Probably. I know I mentioned that, because Hudson could have easily been played by Zach Galifianakis. Like, I could totally see that. So I mentioned that, and I think I did say that you could see these other characters as whoever.
I think there was actually a running gag, if I remember correctly. I seem to remember during the Q&A after the film, Iggy stood up and was like, I don't remember, but it was something about, so what was it like to work with Ben Affleck, or what would it have been, what would it have been like to work with Ben Affleck?
It got brought up when we were hanging out during the interview, and I said, I'm going to ask you that at the Q&A, and you're like, that would be funny. And so we got to that point,
and
I stood up, and before I could even ask the question, it had something to do, I remember you and Mary both like laughing, because you knew what was coming, and I can't remember it, but you're right, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, it was like this big joke that we had going with Ben Affleck. I don't know why I forget like the inside joke, but it's still funny for some reason.
Fleeting Tallgrass moments. Those are the special moments,
because Ben Affleck should be a part of all jokes. That's why.
Yeah. No, but so, I think you're right. Like, it had that sort of like Zach Galifianakis vibe. Like, after watching it, after like editing the movie and watching all the scenes and watching the full cut, I was like, oh, this is totally like David Spade, Chris Farley, or like, you know, Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Like, I absolutely robbed those things, but I didn't really, intend to do that. I had to watch it back and be like, oh, okay. It's just like from movies that you watch, I guess. And
of course,
inherently, yeah. Rob.
Hey, listen, Quentin Tarantino's made an entire career off of that.
Yeah, so there you go.
it's homage is for what sure. It is. So what has the journey been like since we last left you at Tallgrass with Hudson? What has the journey for Hudson been like since, what was that, 2019 now?
Yeah, that was 2019.
Almost 2 years.
It's like, you know, I think the end of 2019, we did sort of a full year of touring with the film. And we were looking at, we got a couple bites from distributors or people that, you know, could sell it to distributors like agents. And we didn't really know, I didn't know what I was doing, basically. I was like, okay, who do we talk to? How do we do this? I had no clue. We had a really like a bigger name person come on and they wanted to buy the film, and we had some like pretty serious meetings and it went well. And then it sort of like just went away during beginning of 2020, as a lot of things did. So like, you know, it could be like budget or so, you never know what happens behind the scenes, but we were like, oh, this might end up on like Hulu or something with this big company. So that kind of fell through. So really like 2 years went by and we had this company MPX, who has repped some like pretty big films. They're pretty new, but they got some big films coming out. I think they saw it at a little film festival and I forget which one. I should have this in my head, but they saw it somewhere. It was one that I couldn't even make it to in 2019. And the guy loved it and he's like, I want to buy it. And then they picked it up and brought it to 1091, and 1091 wants to put it out. So that's, we're here today and they're putting it on Amazon.
Is it coming out on VHS though? That's
it's
the
coming out on VHS first.
Can I get a copy of Hudson on VHS?
Yeah. Oh my God. I would love, that would be like so expensive to make. I feel like I
should. Totally. Well, just I'll take a DVD copy and I have a VHS to DVD. I'll just reverse dub it. If I mean, you're the director, if I have your permission to rip the movie to VHS for myself.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Just excellent. Like, yeah, and then give it or hand it around to people.
Yeah, I'll mail you a copy, and you'll just that's one awesome. Day you'll open up your mail and you'll be like, why do I have my movie?
Could it be signed from Ben Affleck?
You're like, I can't even I can't even watch this. I'd have no way to play this.
Yeah, I know. I like literally can't watch a VHS tape or a DVD. I don't have anything these days.
So what does it feel like on the eve of a wider audience seeing your film? I mean, obviously it's exciting having it go around to film festivals, and it's exciting to have these pockets of people kind of see it, but to finally be able to say, hey, it's out in the world. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's kind of the time it's really fully unleashed, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a long time coming. Like it feels weird. It feels like I'm so kind of finished with it that I'm ready for it to be out. It almost seems like old at this point or something.
Yeah.
Cause we filmed it so long ago, and it's like, sometimes these things just take time to get out. But I'm excited cause it's like going through it again, and you know, we can like be excited about it and tell people about it. And hopefully they're not sick of me like talking about Hudson. But I think it's great, man. Like, honestly, just to get it out there was the goal. And now that I can go around and tell people like, look, just watch it here, watch it Apple TV, Amazon. It's so much easier than being like, yeah, it's coming soon. We don't know where yet, but
for sure.
It's kind of a breath of fresh air just to be like, all right, it's getting out there.
Yeah. I totally get that. Now, I know that we're still living in like, you know, very current COVID times. I, for a couple months there, I was positively using the language like post COVID and not so much. But have you had the opportunity to go, even not with the film, but to check out any film festivals this year? I know some are popping up here and there.
I really haven't. I just haven't been able to. I feel like there's been a lot of screenings that just started happening. My friend just had his documentary play at like Rooftop Films in New York, which is great because they always choose like an outdoor venue and you can see people like spaced apart. So I think like it's coming back in that way, and theaters are back for the most part, but I haven't been able to get out, honestly, unfortunately. Yeah. And I feel like so lucky to have the film come out in 2019 for the festival run. Cause it was like, the last kind of golden age of festivals where you could just go and party and
definitely
have tons of people. So it was like, it was great timing for that. But yeah, I don't know. It's a tough, it's a challenging time right now. What can you do?
We talked to other people who have been putting their films out at festivals this year. And I think David Phillips is a great example, who was there with us in 2019 for the Maestro at Tallgrass. And he just did Eat Wheaties. And he was talking about it showed in Hawaii and it showed here and it showed there. And he's like, these are places I wanted to go to. Like, who wouldn't want to go to Hawaii Film Festival? And he's we couldn't. Like, you watched it online, like with everybody else. And
I know that's so hard because, I don't know, a film is like something you got to go see, especially like the first time viewing of it. And you're kind of gauging like whether it's funny. That was a big lesson just to watch it in those theaters and be like, oh, these people are laughing in this moment that I never found funny. So it's kind of like all these like test audiences over and over. And it's that's hard to do that remotely. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. Sure. I think my own theater experience, and I definitely want to hear from you guys on this, but bringing that up, Q, not just festivals, but Sean, you mentioned theaters are kind of booming again. And we saw, I think really finally with Shang-Chi, you know, on Labor Day weekend, having a nice win. We snuck into theaters a few times, especially early summer when they were still doing that buffer seating. Mm-hmm. And then I went to see the West Side Story, the original one, because I thought 10 a.m. West Side Story Sunday showing, nobody's going to be there. And the theater was full. And and I realized that even though I had seen, I think I saw A Quiet Place 2, we went to Jurassic Park. I was really, most of what I was seeing was like older movies because I felt like it's not going to be crowded in there. So once I got to this one, I realized how uncomfortable I still was to be around that many people all of a sudden. And I just didn't enjoy, and if y'all know West Side Story, and they did the true intermission, like a 10-minute intermission during the intermission and everything. So this was like a 3.5-hour experience, and I was uncomfortable the whole time. How are you guys feeling about the landscape of things with the theaters and as things open up? Because I'm ready to catch COVID for Dune. That's all I know. I'm going to be in theaters for Dune. But other than that, I don't know what
hashtag,
you guys are thinking.
Hashtag doomed for Dune.
Right, exactly.
I love that. Oh, man. What's his name? Denis Villeneuve? Right?
That's
going to be really good. He doesn't do anything bad. So
I agree. He's definitely one of those directors that's what I keep waiting for is like, not that I want that to happen by any means, but I'm like, there's no way that some dude is just like pumping out just killer movie after movie after movie.
What if it's
the shoe is going to drop?
Just like Lynch, it's like this one movie in the middle where it's like no one can make Dune. It's kind of crazy.
Breaking my heart. Breaking my heart. Right.
Sorry.
That would be crazy. Have you, Sean? Have you gone to the movies at all since COVID?
What did I see recently? God, I'm trying to think. I have the worst memory of all time. But I saw something. It was like a horror movie that they actually shot in upstate New York. It was called The Night House. I forget the actress's name. She's in a ton of stuff. She's great. But it was kind of the slow burn, like ghost story kind of thing. And it was filmed in Skaneateles Atlas Lake, which is where we filmed a lot of Hudson, like beautiful upstate, you know, surroundings. And so I went to go see it for that reason. I'm like, oh, like catching the spots that they filmed and everything. But I was the only one in the theater when I went. So that's like perfect when you're going to see a thriller. You're like kind of cozy. It's like Monday to noon on a Monday.
That's
so
awesome.
I've definitely stuck since that West Side Story experience to Tuesday 4:30 or 5 p.m. showings, and it's been the bread and butter of is not packed. Yeah, even Shang-Chi, like we went and saw that because it was my son's birthday weekend and everything. 4:30 showing. Tuesday, 4 other people in the theater even. I was like, oh, I feel so much better about this.
I've kind of always liked it that way, though. I don't like sitting next to people ever.
Right. Well, fun story for you, actually. So the first Quiet Place, when it came out, that came out at the time I don't even remember what one of it was, a movie pass or AMC pass. I was on a pass that year to where you could go to as many movies.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was my bread and butter, too, was like Sunday night at like 11 p.m. or whatever, because nobody was there. Yeah. So I went to see A Quiet Place, the first one. And you know how silent most of that movie is.
Yes.
There was three other people in the theater. And there was one guy who had like the crunchiest popcorn ever. So we're all sitting there. It's just dark and quiet. And, you know, they're doing the scene where they're like very quiet, like one of those really tense, like, and then you just hear.
Yeah. It's like, oh, dude. Oh my God.
He's like opening bags of chips for no reason.
That's what it felt like.
Where did you even get chips?
For no reason.
I'm pretty sure he had like Reese's Pieces too, because he was like, like, it was just, and the guy was like, he was just fully like he was at home just enjoying the movie. And I was like, oh, of course.
No care. The
problem is like, you want to enjoy it with people. That's the whole point of cinema, is to go like as this kind of unit and watch this and enjoy it. But it's like, people are just annoying.
Yeah. So,
and they're worse now post COVID, right? Like,
yeah, so we've got like this theater relatively close to my house, and I started venturing out, I don't know, a couple months ago. I think shortly after getting vaccinated, I was like, all right, I'm ready to like get back out there. 'Cause I genuinely miss theaters. Like, I miss the theater experience. And so I went and saw Pig with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that's the other one that I saw. I remember. Yeah. Yep.
Very good. And then a week, I want to ask you a question about that. So we'll put a pin in that. and then I went and saw The Green Knight, the David Lowery movie, and it was really good. And but both of those, the theater near my house was still doing kind of the COVID seating, so everything had like two seats in between every person, and I felt fine. And last night, for the first time, our Alamo Draft House just opened up.
Those are third.
And I went to go see Shang-Chi, and as I'm sitting there, I was like, oh, cool. When I bought my ticket, I was like, man, there's like nobody around me. It's great. And as I'm sitting there, the theater just starts like filling up.
Oh.
And I was like, No. And I had like seats next to me. And by the end, like by the time the movie started, like my entire row was full. Like I was elbow to elbow with people, with strangers. And I was like, I haven't experienced this in 2 years.
Just when you like just kick your shoes off and you got them up and you're like, ah.
Yeah,
make it was them uncomfortable. Be the guy with the popcorn so they go away. Right?
Exactly. It was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. All right. So to unpin Pig, I just have a question for you.
Sure.
So this topic of conversation has come up a lot lately. I was having a conversation with a friend, and I'd love to know your take on it. I was having a conversation with a friend regarding Nicolas Cage as an actor, right? So I saw the trailer for Pig, and at first I didn't know how to take the trailer, because Nicolas Cage's oeuvre, if you will, of late has been interesting.
Yeah.
And I saw the trailer, and they might as well have had the voiceover dude, and it was like, one man alone in the woods with his best friend, a pig. And I was like, what is this movie? I have to go see this.
Exactly.
And I went and saw the movie expecting, like, Nicolas Cage, like, just weirdness. Mm-hmm. And what I got was a surprisingly heartfelt, and I even... like, I left the movie and was like, I wouldn't be surprised if this gets some Oscar nods. Like, this was a really, really good film. Like, a really good film. And not only a great performance by Nicolas Cage, but just a really well-told story. But it almost defied, like genre or description. Because people kept asking me, they're like, so what, like, what is it about then? And I was like, well, it's about a guy
explaining the whole story, because it sort of unfolds.
Exactly. I was like, on paper, what I'm about to say to you sounds really stupid, but somehow this film really works. And I hit it the other day, and I want to see if you agree with me. Because this question has been racking my brain of like, how do I describe this movie without spoiling the plot?
Right.
This is what I ended up offering to somebody. They said, what kind of movie is it? And I said, okay, imagine John Wick, but instead of using violence, if he used words and emotions to disarm people.
Oh, that's like perfect. That's it. Yeah.
That was your explanation at Colorado Springs. That's where you brought that up.
That's the best way to it describe is. That movie.
Because he's
that
so,
was me you described that to. That was me.
But now I'm telling Sean about it.
I mean, that's the best way. Yeah, because I've sort of been asked that too. Like, people have kind of heard about it or seen the trailer and like, what is that about? I'm like, well, do you know what truffles are? You know, it's like pigs that look for them. It's like, that just takes too long. So so you kind of have, that's like a great way to describe it though. Cause he's just this, I don't know. He's so passive and you know, you just feel bad for him. It's a great character.
If you could work with Nicolas Cage, is that like,
I would love to. He's in like five of my favorite movies of all time. Like, he's in some terrible movies, but it's like maybe three or four actually. And you probably
know what these, I need to know what these are.
So
please tell me.
So, okay. Adaptation.
He's like The Knowing.
Adaptation.
Adaptation's a good one. Adaptation
is great. Ever. Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, definitely.
And three others. No, I don't remember. I mean, I kind of like, I loved Matchstick Men. It's not on that level, but I liked it.
Oh yeah. I like that movie a lot.
The Weatherman's really good too.
Weatherman's great too. It's another good dramedy.
What was the one where he's like a gun runner? Lord of War. That's a very good movie.
Isn't even that based on like something true or something? I'm sure it is. Like,
I think it is. Yeah.
Any movie that takes place like overseas in the Middle East is based on a true story, is what they say. Because they're like, nobody's going to question us if we say it is. Like,
also,
it was probably based on a Nicolas Cage story. He like came to them and was like, guys, at one point I was running guns in the Middle East.
He needs, like, it's so funny because a lot, that's a big conversation is like Nick Cage is like, is he a terrible actor or is he just in some bad movies? He's just, he needs a good director, a good script. That's all he needs. And he's awesome.
Where did that knob turn for you guys with him though? I feel like it was that Snake Eyes. It's like where all of a sudden it was like this new,
he changed agents. All like, of a sudden he just lost his good agent.
Maybe it was
not,
it's the movie
like Myrna.
Right, that year, I feel like it was the same year or back-to-back years where like Snake Eyes and 8mm like came out back-to-back or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, he had already kind of explored The Rock and this is post like post Raising Arizona, Leaving Las Vegas,
not
like these great movies.
Talk down about The Rock. That is a solid
movie. I said this is post The Rock. We've already had this conversation. And anyways, I feel like it was just right there when he started make like the boxing movie where they all get locked in. I feel like, isn't that called Snake? I feel like it's called Snake Eyes.
It's got this great opening shot.
And he has like, that's when his eyes start doing the thing that he does all the time. And I'm like, it's just like a switch just turned. Yeah.
I would say
we need you to turn it up a little.
It was the haircut years. The haircut years are when Nicolas Cage started his kind of like downward spiral, because much like Tom Hardy acts with his voice. So he's very much like, my character is defined by my voice. Nicolas Cage acts with his hair. So he's very much like, my hairstyle defines my character.
That is true. He has like crazy different hairstyles in every movie.
Yeah, I feel like it started with like around Bangkok Dangerous. He got like this shoulder length Lancelot hair that kind of stuck around for a long time.
You can't do that with a receding hairline. It just
you can't. Like, you cannot
wear a hat. That's why.
But I was actually talking to a friend about this, and I think like hands down, unequivocally, Nick is a fantastic actor, okay? But here's the problem. He is a fantastic actor who is swinging for the fences every single time. Like, there is no role that he accepts that he's like, I'm just gonna phone this in. Every single one is like, I need to make this role my own. And the problem is that doesn't work in every single movie. Like, you can't, like, to be fair, let's use your movie as an example, Hudson.
He can't be enough.
if he came into that movie and he's like, all right, this is nice. I really like this. But here's the deal. My character actually only has one leg and is going to say three words of dialogue through the entire movie.
That's amazing.
Then you are probably like, holy shit, this is Nick Cage. I want him to work on my movie. But yeah. You're like, that's not going to fit into the storyline as it exists. Yeah. And he's
like, why do you have an eye patch, man? He's like, trust me.
I guarantee you, these are all Nick Cage things. I promise you.
This description of him. I'm also buying this plot for Hudson too, by the way.
Not to spoil Pig, but I have a theory about this. And this isn't really a spoiler. But as you know, Sean, since you've seen it, he gets dirtier through the entire movie.
He does.
I left that movie and turned to my buddy Mike, who I saw the movie with, and I was like, 100% that was a Nicolas Cage note. That is not in the script. I guarantee you he went to the director and was like, listen, I have an idea. My character needs to never bathe through the entire film.
He's distraught by the end of the film.
And it worked. And I was like, but when it doesn't work,
He's finding puddles backstage. He's just rolling around in them.
Totally. And they're like, what is he doing? And he's like, he's just being Nick Cage. I don't know.
Like, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, it's Nicolas Cage, man.
That
he's a Coppola.
He was also in a book adapted about revelations in the Bible called Left Behind. Let's not forget that Nicolas Cage was in a movie that was like, not mocking the Bible, not anything, like was about the end of times biblically.
See, you say that, and even hearing the words coming out of your mouth, I'm like, yeah, that seems about right.
That just seems
that makes sense. Well, he was in have either of you guys seen Willy's Wonderland?
No, never seen that.
Which is, it's essentially like, for those who know the video game, it's essentially like Five Nights at Freddy's, but like the Asylum, the production company, released Five Nights at Freddy's. And in this movie, Nicolas Cage plays a drifter who goes into a town, is hired as a janitor to clean up this abandoned, essentially Chuck E. Cheese. And the animatronics come to life and try to kill him through the entire movie. Okay.
I just picture that as like pitching the movie, saying that. It's like
totally. Listen, if I'm the producer at this table. Yeah. I'm 100% greenlighting this movie. Like,
only if Nick Cage is in it, though.
They need to lead with Nick Cage. But in this movie, so all of that seems pretty straightforward, like a pretty straightforward slash movie. Well, as I'm watching this movie, I take note of a character choice by what I'm assuming is Nick Cage, in that his character has no dialogue in the entire movie. He is the main character, but he does not speak ever. So there are scenes where he is not speaking that it does not make sense that he is not speaking narratively. Like, as trying to tell a movie, I'm like, it would really help if he said something here so we would explain like what the hell is going on in this movie
pretty well.
I guarantee you, once again, I left that movie, I turned to my wife and I was like, guarantee you Nick Cage, that was his note. He's like, I know you have all this dialogue for me, but I'm not gonna say any of it. And this director was like,
impression.
This director was like, okay. I don't know what I'm gonna say. The only way my movie got financed was because you're in it, so I guess
I think another one that I liked him in is Joe, that indie film, I think it's David Gordon Green. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the closest to like a pig type character that he played.
Kind of reminded me of that like rugged kind of character.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Man, so all right.
Favorite, hold on, because nostalgic wise, I remember watching Raising Arizona with my family. So I'm trying to place my favorite. So I feel like that's definitely up there.
But Raising Arizona is incredible,
right? But his best performance, which I think is also critically claimed as, is the Leaving Las Vegas.
I don't think
it gets better than that. But him stealing diapers from the grocery store will always be a fond memory of watching movies with my family and as a child. So Raising Arizona.
There's some great moments in that, man. Like early Coen brothers, like just some of the shots. It's like, it's fantastic.
I have a fun, what if is a popular Marvel series right now on Disney Plus. And I have a fun, what if question for you, Sean?
Yeah, let's do it. Is there like a sound effect that comes in?
I'll bring it back. No, I wish there was. Dang it. There it is.
What if?
Trademark Disney. If and I want to bring it back to Hudson, if a studio was financing your movie, Hudson, and you hadn't made it yet and you were still in that, and they were like, all right, we're gonna finance your entire film, but here's the deal, you have to put Nick Cage in this. what role would you think that Nick Cage would fit into best in Hudson as it exists?
In Hudson? I mean, there's like a funny answer and there's like a realistic answer.
Is it, were but, you going to say it would be Mary's role?
Yeah, it would be Mary's at the gas station. Like, hey, and then they're just giving Nick Cage a ride for like, you know, indefinitely.
And he speaks no dialogue through the entire thing.
He could totally be the doctor because he could just be this kind of, you know, older sort of kooky hippie dude. And but it would, the thing is like, it would be so distracting because it'd be like, oh my God, that's Nick Cage. And you wouldn't be able to pay attention.
That's fair. Yeah. Totally.
Like Richard Mazur is kind of perfect because you're like, I recognize him. I know him. And it's like, he just kind of owns the scene anyway. So.
But you're not waiting for your Nick Cage to be like, let me tell you something.
Yeah, exactly. He would do something so weird, but it would, I think it would
he's work, like,
I would still do
he's
it.
He's like, look, I want to play, I'll play the doctor, but I think my character should have cornrows. I think it's very important.
Yeah. And when I opened the door to come in, like rap was playing in the background and then you close the door.
Yes. It's very important because you need to know that this doctor is a three-dimensional character that when he leaves here, there's a whole other life that he is living.
Yeah.
That you don't see. It enriches his character.
He's like, I do cornrows for a week before and a week after. Okay. Yeah. I keep doing it.
I got one more Nick Cage note. Have y'all seen the Onion video where it's the interview of the person who plays Nick Cage, the character? So he's the man who wears the Nick Cage costume. So it's the concept that he is, they're interviewing a guy who is apparently playing Nick Cage, playing everything else. Because he has to be this character that is Nick Cage. It's a pretty solid interview.
That sounds amazing.
We're checking out since we just spent half the podcast on Nick Cage.
I know, but it's just so fascinating. I mean, it's just great to talk about because he's got such a weird career. So it's like,
I smell a spinoff series. Yes. Nick Cage, the podcast, exclusively.
Nick Cage, the podcast, as we celebrate the arrival of Hudson 2 starring Nick Cage.
Sorry, Hudson 2.
I would love
Yikes.
That.
I don't even know how that would work as a sequel.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Thumbsucker? It's like, I think it's Mike Mills. So,
yeah, the indie film.
Yeah, it's like this nice dramedy. It's like early 2000s. I love that movie, but like, the cast is really funny. Like Keanu Reeves plays this hippie doctor and he's got the long hair and he's smoking cigarettes like in the room. Or he's like a dentist, which is even funnier. And he's got the rubber gloves, but that's what I feel like Nick Cage would do. Like that's my reference for him and Hudson.
Everybody would reference the one. They're like, Hudson was great and all, but did you remember how Nick Cage walked in with the, like, that's what everybody
just always like, has a cigarette in his mouth. He's like,
they're like, was Ben Affleck in that? Like, I can't remember.
Whoa, was that Nick Cage doing a Ben Affleck impression as the doctor?
It gets deeper.
It's crazy. He was really going for it.
Daniel Day-Lewis played Matt Damon. Yeah, Affleck and Damon.
Oh my God.
So what's going on with you now? What are you up to, Sean? What's been happening post-Hudson?
Post-Hudson. So I do a lot of commercial directing. So that's been going on. I'm in New York right now, actually. So I'm like in between shoots. So that's sort of my like day gig. I go and shoot a couple commercials here and there. I sold my soul long ago to the advertising industry. So,
yes,
you know, we all got to do something. I got to get my VHS tape collection back. So
it's true. Listen, it ain't cheap.
$3,000 apparently.
But yeah, it's fun. I like kind of doing that stuff in between and then I can sort of, it's a way to kind of feel like you're filming anyway and writing and practicing your craft a little bit. But I did write another script. So I got that done over quarantine, which is great. It's another dramedy. Do you guys want to hear the tagline?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
So I'm still working on it, but it's basically about three adult siblings that move back into their childhood home to navigate their messy lives. So It's a little bit of like Royal Tenenbaums ish. Like they kind of come back in at different times. Each one has a different problem. And the movie is just that, like those 2 weeks they spend together at their mom's house, who, you know, who they haven't been, they haven't seen each other in like 10 years. So
it's basically like this episode of the podcast, right? Like it's just we all come back together.
We're all in it, actually. It's being filmed right now.
This is it. It's live.
And, we're doing it live. It's actually a stage play.
In conversations with Nick Cage for one of the roles. Obviously.
That actually that sounds fantastic and thematically on point with Hudson. Like that feels like kind of like a thematic next step, if you will.
Yeah, I like I just have like an affinity for like the small town flicks, you know, and just small towns in general and all those characters. I don't think there's like enough movies that are done well in like small towns. There's like a handful of them, but I got to bring back that feel good vibe that you were talking about earlier and just, you know, sort of that John Hughes, like, I don't know, early like Cameron Crowe or just the heartfelt mixed with the comedy. Like, I kind of think we're missing that and I can bring it back maybe. That's my goal.
If Hudson is any indicator, I have no doubt you could bring that back. Like Hudson is really a fantastic film. And I hope that when you go to make this movie that you recently wrote, that it is easier for you to get it made thanks to Hudson, because if people need to understand kind of the direction you are moving in, then I think that Hudson works as a fantastic business card.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, thanks for saying that, man. I appreciate that. I think that's why we made it in a way, like we're just trying to make something and be like, hey, look what we can do with just some friends and a camera and low budget. And, you know, I think maybe it is like a calling card. Like maybe we can do this, get some money for the next one. That's always the biggest issue is money, finding that. But I mean, people make something for pretty cheap these days. You can just find people that want to work. So that's also
cool. I hear Nick Cage is very available.
Yeah. He's gonna be on board. I can't say anything yet. It's not on IMDb, but
sure. But I heard it's in the works. And if not, I will come and I will do a Nick Cage impression for you during the film.
You can just be off screen. I'll just shoot you kind of dirty and just
perfect.
That's awesome.
Great. And you're like, no, that's the Nick Cage. He was on. We only had him on set for like a day and a half, and he refused to be on camera. That would fit on brand with him too. The people would just be like, yeah, that sounds about right. Probably. Yeah.
You never.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say, I think you brought up a good point though. I definitely don't want to. We're project nerds, so obviously the nerdy comic movies and stuff we love as well. But for me, it's just as important for those other films that are in there too. And we talked a lot about early COVID shutdown. You know, what does the future of the theater landscape look like? And I think we kind of got a preview into that this Labor Day weekend, where it was a holiday weekend and there were only four movies showing at most theaters. It was Paw Patrol, the movie. You had Candyman, and then Free Guy was showing like once or twice at my local theater a day, like one or two. And then there was like eight screens showing Shang-Chi. And that's where I thought is where I think I feel like, are we just going to see a lot more of these independent films, these other budgets releasing at art house theaters as they open back up and more digitally? And I don't like that because, Q, you touched on a good point. I think the theater experience is part of the movie experience, at least for us. That's where our podcast started. That's where Project Nerd started, was all around the movie stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of, if you have a megaplex of 24 screens, right? Like you've got screens to show some of these other movies. So hopefully they find, you know, hopefully these things start finding their ways back into theaters too. Appreciate the streaming services putting them in front of us, giving them more accessibility, but I would love to see your movie in a theater, I guess, is what I'm rambling on about.
That'd be amazing, man. I think like seeing a lot of, you know, those indie films that you see at festivals, like it'd be so exciting. And I think a lot of people have good taste. It's just that what they choose to put in the theaters might not be like for everybody. So it's like a lot of people love indie films that don't necessarily follow indie film. So like they'll catch one and be like, oh, that was really good. It's like, yeah. It is good. It just doesn't see the light of day most times.
And there's more.
So that'd be awesome. I mean, I think a lot of people would go out to see him and it might be this new kind of, I don't know, superhero thing where people are just seeing indie movies or something. That'd be kind of
cool. That would be great. Yeah. No, I think you bring on a good point. I always am so thankful for the advantages Project Nerd affords us as a team. Like, we get to travel and do cool things, but it's exactly not only meet people like you and stuff like this and have these conversations even years afterwards, but we get to watch movies that people have never, like the stuff I've seen just at Tallgrass alone has blown my mind. And I sit here and tell my fiance about them, and I'm like, I go try to find them online, and they're like, some of them you can't even find anymore. And I'm like trying to explain to her, no, this was like a genuinely phenomenal film or concept. Yeah. And you can't even, you know, it's just not,
it's
out
just there. Gone.
It's like tragic.
Right, right.
It is. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. There's the been point so many being times. For those watching and listening, go support local and independent cinema, right?
Yeah.
And watch Hudson. It's right. One of the ones that made it.
You're going to say,
it made it out.
It made it out.
So it's obviously getting a digital release, right? When is that?
I think it's so it's doing, from what I know right now, it's like on Amazon and Apple TV. And I think a bunch of other like Vudu and things like that. But I think it's September 21st. It comes out on all those platforms, and it's like a new release, like rental. So it's not quite right. Like streaming for sure. Free on a platform yet, but
sure.
I think the goal is to maybe bump it to one of those things. If it kind of, I don't know, hits it off and people like it could go to Hulu or Netflix or I don't know. I'm just
looking for that Criterion release,
but
that
yeah, Criterion there we go.
Release cited in my spy numbers there.
Yeah. I need like a nude scene for Criterion, I think. So,
right? Like, walking or some weird, absurd moment in it.
Like a decapitation.
Right. Out of nowhere.
Decapitation nude scene together.
Yeah. Nude that's decapitation, right. Guaranteed Criterion.
Awesome.
And then no one mentions it.
That's there. I will definitely, obviously, check it out there, but I'll definitely be on the hunt too for an eventual physical copy. And as you can tell from Q's VHS. Background, he's a physical media type man as well. Yeah, I love having those conversations with people. People still are why do you have all these movies?
What's the company that's distributing it again? 2021.
So it's they're so called
that's the year. That's the
1091. So 1091 used to be The Orchard. So
totally.
Cross Brothers Films. So they changed the name. It's like a division of Sony. And 1091 does a bunch of indie films. So it's great to be under that umbrella. And
yeah,
you know, they're
well perfect. Well, I'm gonna take a moment then, and I'm gonna just talk directly to 1091. 1091, listen. Quentin here. Big fan. And I wanted to let you know that I really, really would appreciate a VHS release of Hudson. I don't know what we can do to make that happen, but my door is open. If you want to talk, I'd be happy to put it in the collection. It deserves that. So
that's amazing.
Please. Thank you very much. All right. Now I return us back to our normal.
So 1091 for those curious too. I'm looking on here too. And you have, what is that? You have Hero with Sam Elliott. The Kid from Coney Island basketball documentary that shows up on my Netflix all the time. I can't say that I've actually watched it, right? Dramarama. And the banner at the very top I'm looking at right now is Hudson, though, above all of those films. It's pretty cool.
No.
Yeah, it was when really? I went over there. It's on the banner.
Oh, that's funny. All right.
It's one of it's a slideshow, so there are like six or seven things, but it's up there.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't even looked, man. That's so awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it's right above Escape from Area 51 and Echoes of Violence and Black Magic Live Stripped with the stripper looking dude. So it's in good company, I guess.
It's a title right there.
Right.
But that is a mouthful of a title. Right. Black Magic Live Stripped.
Right.
Past tense.
So we're running low on time.
What's a sequel?
Blurry.
So.
So I needed to do two callbacks. One, Double Dragon is available on Blu-ray, and it's actually a dollar cheaper than the DVD copy, just you know, out there. Two, yes, you can go to Project Nerd and check out The 10, which is one of our article series. And if you look at the 10 best movies of 2019, Hudson is in there with the likes of, I also put The Farewell, Loose, Booksmart, Knives Out, Parasite, Peanut Butter Falcon. Was such a great year for movies.
Oh, I love that. I love that movie. Right. Dude, Parasite, come on. That's like, that's an incredible list.
I'm so glad that that snuck in one Best Picture. 1917 was a great achievement cinematically, but Parasite had so much going for it. But I also love loved Marriage Story. Marriage Story was actually my top movie of 2019.
There was a lot of great movies that year.
Yeah, it was a solid year. And Hudson was right up there with the.
And then all movies did it. It broke the space-time continuum. That's what happened. So many good movies released at once that they were like, you know what? No more movies. No more movies. Movies are done. No one's we're out of movies. You're gonna have to wait at least one. It's like eating and then swimming after. They're like, you have to wait at least one full year before you can take in more movies again. That's how good this year was for movies.
That's right? So cool. Yeah, it's cool to hear them all like that. I'm like, oh yeah, that was a lot, man.
So and just for those that are watching, obviously 1091 Pictures, that's 1091.tv. You can head on over to Google and search Hudson Movie. The first thing that shows up is the IMDb page. And then, of course, over on Project Nerd, not only do we have the top 10 list, we do have the interview with you and Mary out there, as well as the review of the film. Spoiler-free review. Talks a little bit about what's going on, but it doesn't give you the juice, I guess, the gritty details.
Yeah. So nobody obviously needs to know that Nicolas Cage pops up at the end. That is what a twist.
Right. Perfect. Was there anything else, because we are low on time, anything else you wanted to plug, send people a direction or anything before we had to wrap up shop here?
I mean, I could talk about Nick Cage for a little longer, but we can do that another time. Perfect. That's fine.
Definitely.
No, you did a great job, man. That's like, you know, the film's coming out on Amazon and Apple TV September 21st. Hudson, check it out. I think you'll dig it. And I don't know. Thank you guys so much. It's awesome to talk to you.
Yeah, our definitely. Pleasure. And before we leave, fans, as always, while you're checking out the Hudson stuff, make sure you subscribe to all the great Project Nerd goodness that's happening. It's down. Yeah, down in here somewhere. Project Nerd
this
Live.
This is Sean. And just this go to YouTube. Is the stuff.
And just go to YouTube and subscribe to Project Nerd. Obviously, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We now have a TikTok, which my 13-year-old pug was dressed up as Baby Yoda the other day for it. So
you want to see it, go check it out.
Yeah, great stuff. You can follow us too. And speaking of Tallgrass Film Festival, hopefully we'll see you out there, some people. And not just Tallgrass, but so many cities have film festivals and people don't realize that. And you can buy ticket. Like, you don't have to be the filmmaker or Project Nerd. I mean, it helps, but you don't have to be us to go check these out. Like, if you live in Wichita, you can go to Tallgrass, you could see Hudson. You can go, Q's in Omaha, there's definitely one there. There's the Denver Film Festival here. Sean's in New York City right now, so there's about a million film festivals there you could check out. Point being is all of this we're talking about, you can go support these films and check them out at film festivals. So you're also supporting a film festival, double win there, right? Like, great happening. So that's all for my promo stuff at the end. Now we can wrap. Okay. So I was pushing love people it to do things, and my camera gets increasingly blurry for some reason. I need to,
you're going out of focus. It's kind of cool. You're like a 1.4 right now. You're like,
you're like slowly. Oh, there you go. Now you're in focus.
There it is. Yeah. We had this problem. I've got to upgrade cameras. We live streamed for 18 hours a couple weeks ago at Colorado Springs Comic Con. And I don't know how many times to make the live stream work, I had to like delete the software for the webcam off the computer and just let it do its autofocus. And now the camera's like, I'll focus when I want to. Like, it's just doing whatever it wants.
You can't, but it's a real Nick Cage of a webcam. It just does whatever it wants to do.
I think Hasbro's up to it, doing it, but maybe Ben Affleck. But anyways, all right. Yeah, Sean, it was a blast to catch back up with you. I'm rambling now, so bringing it back in. Was a blast. Love chatting with you then. Happy to chat with you now. We hope to run into you at future film festivals, especially with the next movie out. Q, absolutely. You want to close up shop here?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you all for watching this episode of Nerdcast. Sean, thank you so much. And let me remind you, when this future film gets made, Project Nerd's pretty great place to drop exclusive stuff if you want to do such things.
Are you talking to the audience or Sean?
You're talking to me?
To Sean. I'm convincing Sean. Okay. The audience knows. They definitely want to see the exclusive stuff. Right. But make sure you check out all of the incredible series across the network. We've got 12 plus podcasts. We have video series out the wazoo on the Project-Nerd YouTube channel. So make sure you search that Project-Nerd on YouTube. Click subscribe, like all of the videos that you find there. You can navigate over to project-nerd.com
that way
for all sorts of, yeah, there you go. For all sorts of updates on where we're going to be, because hopefully 2022, fingers crossed, we're going to be making it out to quite a bit of stuff, some conventions, some film festivals, and we want to bring you all the coverage. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that good stuff. And yeah, until the next Nerdcast, I've been Q. That's Iggy.
I'm Iggy. Sorry.
And this is Sean.
I love talking to you guys so much. That was awesome. Thank you guys.
Same.